going way back to the 70s. The great Todd Rundgren does everything in music, produces, writes, records, plays all his own instruments. He is the band leader, basically, of the celebration of David Bowie that's hitting the Olympia Theater on October the 18th. We're playing the Melnick Quiz all week to give away tickets, and we gave them away earlier to Mike on his way to Saint-Jean-sur-Richelieu.
LaRouche.
Mike LaRouche. Congratulations. A couple more pairs tomorrow. But right now, we are going to quiz Pierre Maguire on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
I'm very well, Mitch. How are you?
I'm good. We're going to do the blue line today and the forwards on Friday. Is that okay?
Okay. That's good.
With John Still. John, I'm going to give you the first shot here. It's almost, if we're doing alphabetical order, his first name is Arbor. We don't know if there's ever been an Arbor in NHL history other than Al, the brilliant. You knew Al Arbor pretty well, right?
Very, very, very well. Very well.
So let's go start with your dude.
Yeah. Pierre, Pierre, it's been a long time since I've spoken to you. Nice to talk to you again. When it comes down to Arbor Jacki, not a lot of people had him on the team to start the year. I still think he probably needs some time in the American Hockey League, but we were talking earlier, no one's really seized that spot on the Canadiens' blue line. Does a guy with a lot of confidence seem to kind of fit that bill for you?
Well, he brings a dimension. You saw it last night with Mark Kastelic, and if you watched the Hamilton Bulldogs last year, you saw a little bit about what he could bring, and even before that with the Kitchener Rangers, a kid that basically had to play physical to get to where he is. The first time I really saw him in intense moments was last year when Ottawa and Montreal were playing rookie games, and he stood out. He stood out big time. And, you know, this is a player that has had to do everything basically from scratch, never drafted. Kid that basically had to do everything physically to get to where he is, and he appreciates his role and understands it, and he's got size. But to say that he's NHL ready right now, I think would be a reach.
Can you explain why somebody who looks to be, at the very least, on the verge of starting an NHL career can be undrafted like that?
Oh, there's a lot.
How does this happen?
Late bloomer, maybe wasn't as big and strong as he is now. Probably there was a skating issue earlier in his career. May have played on poor teams that scouts didn't go see. There's a lot of it. I mean, I'm doing that right now. I'm going to watch tons of college games, and I'm going to see two more this weekend, and saw, you know, a bunch of teams practice. And so I'm watching different things, and you can see how guys slip through the cracks. I'll give you an example. I know he didn't have a great night last night, but Jake Evans was a seventh-round pick. Seventh-round pick, Mitch.
Yeah.
And I remember doing the show with you. I was at Notre Dame doing games with Doc Emmerich, and Jake was a freshman, and I kept telling you, this guy's got a legitimate chance to play, and he slipped. I mean, he's a guy that slipped through the cracks. There's no question about it. So it happens. Scouts just, they look. Here's one thing. If you're a young person out there that wants to be a scout, don't run with the herd. Formulate your own opinions on players. Part of the big issue now, and I saw it firsthand last year, being around as many amateur games or European games or American League games, scouts run in herds. And so everybody goes out together, they travel together, they talk, they share information even though they're not supposed to. And you basically get poisoned by different opinions that maybe aren't your own. So if you're a young person out there and you want to scout, don't run with the herd. Formulate your own opinion. Don't be afraid of formulating a strong and powerful opinion that belongs to you and nobody else.
Jordan Harris, you've seen him a lot. We've talked to you about Jordan Harris. He looks smooth and poised. He hasn't emerged here. Like a lot of the young defensemen, nobody's really emerged as a front runner here to grab a job.
Right. Jordan struggled last night. I wasn't a fan of his game because that's not usually what he's a very good first pass defender. I think we talked about this the other day. He's not as big as maybe he needs to be, but I still think he's a competent player that will continue to evolve and get better. It's too early to just say, he can't play, he's no good, because I've seen him play extremely well for a long period of time, and there's a consistency level to his game. It's just people are just going to have to give him time. And just to be fair on all this, so everybody understands, the Montreal Canadiens are in a rebuild. I don't know what they're calling it there, and I don't know whether they're calling it a better reset or a redo or whatever.
It's a rebuild.
They're rebuilding.
It's
they're
a
rebuilding.
Rebuild. Yeah.
And it, you know, that doesn't mean it's bad. I think they've got two really competent people there that are at the top of the food chain that understand how to rebuild. And they're not going to miss much when it comes to cap-related issues with Kent. And they're not going to miss much when it comes to player personnel decisions with Jeff. And so I'm actually encouraged. People have to understand there's got to be a patience factor through this whole thing.
All right, Kane Gooley had the puck hop over a stick. It looked bad at the end.
A bad play, yes, I know. Go ahead.
But do you think he's got a shot? Like, of all, when camp got underway, I think a lot of us were thinking, okay, if he has a decent enough camp, even though he hasn't played a lot because of COVID lately, that this is the one young defenseman who's going to be in Montreal for a long time.
Well, Kane Gooley's a big body. He's close to 6'3". I'm going to say he's close to 210 pounds. He can really skate. I watched him last year play a ton with Edmonton and also with Prince Albert. And his coach in Prince Albert at the time, Mark Habscheid, is a very good friend of mine. We talked a lot. And Ottawa owned a player that played both in Edmonton and in Prince Albert. He actually got traded for Gooley, Carson Latimer. So I was watching and paying attention to a lot of what Caden was doing last year in particular. And he's a legit bona fide potential star player in the league. I mean, there's no question about it. He's not just a regular player. He's got a chance to be a 1-2 guy in the back end. That turnover that he made last night to Drake Batherson, that could happen to anybody. That's just one of those plays. It's bad luck and ends up on Batherson sick, who's not just a great shooter but a playmaker, and Brady Tkachuk capitalizes. But I think he should be in the NHL. I don't know. Usually I would tell you, Mitch, you know I'm not in a hurry to rush players. This guy, there's not much more he needs to learn. He's a really talented kid. He really is.
And Pierre, I mean, I said the same thing kind of at training camp last year, that I thought he could play in the NHL last season. But how encouraging is it for the Canadians that the one thing that maybe was missing from his game was control and poise with the puck? And I know it didn't come out last night, Pierre, but there have been moments in preseason where you've really seen that this guy has added an offensive dimension to his game. How encouraging is that for a guy to add that later on in his development like that?
Oh, very much so, especially when you look at where the defense is for the Canes. You know, you've got to be fair here. When you look at the defense, Petrie's no longer there. You know, Shea Weber is no longer there. You can go down the line and look at all the players that have left. And, you know, I don't want to beat up the previous management group. And, you know, they made some mistakes when it came to keeping players and trading players. And so it happens to every team. But the truth of the matter is they're with Kaden Gooley, they're not in a bad spot. They're in a really good spot. Now, the player that you're going to have to watch, and he had a rough weekend. He played for Northeastern against Long Island University, Jaden Struble. We talked about him before. Jaden is a very physical, nasty piece of business, tough guy to play against. He's just going to have to get a little bit more of what Jordan Harris has when it comes to making first passes and things like that. If he can do that, then the Canadiens are really starting to formulate a really strong back end. They really are.
Justin Barron.
Yeah. You know, I think he's a player that's got very large upside. I think the biggest thing on Justin is just being patient. I thought it was a real good acquisition. I can tell you right now, had Ottawa done something in the trade market last year, that was a player from Colorado that we were definitely interested in. So, no, he's a very, very good player. I watched his brother play a ton at Cornell and a little bit with Hartford and the Rangers, and then obviously he gets moved to Winnipeg. But they're both good hockey players, and so Justin, I think, is somebody that will help them.
Here's a guy that I didn't realize he was back in North America, Otto Leskinen. Marty St. Louis has been impressed. He moves the puck well. He's still in the picture here. He's 25. Unlike a lot of the guys that we're talking about, he's 25, so he's no kid.
Right.
Do you think, in light of the fact that, as I mentioned, I'm not talking necessarily long term. I'm talking about breaking camp, right? With who they're going to break camp with among these young defensemen. If some of them need to be in Laval, could Otto Leskinen make this team?
He could, absolutely. I mean, you'd have to tell me, because I'm not close enough to the situation, what they're going to do with Logan Mailloux, who just signed today. But how long is Joel Edmondson going to be up? That's another question. But you have to think, lead pipe cinches to be there right now. Mike Matheson, David Savard, Chris Weidman. Would you agree, Mitch?
Yeah, that's of course.
Three. Jordan Harris is probably four. You'd agree with that?
I don't know.
Justin Barrett.
That's why I'm asking you.
Okay. I think yes. Because they know, see, the one thing, again, Kent knows that player's body of work unbelievably well because his boys play at Northeastern. And they played with Jordan. Oh, one of them played with Jordan. And so they know. They know exactly what Jordan can do. Justin Barron is another one. I think he's got a legitimate chance. And obviously, Caden Gooley. So I think it's starting to get set up, and injuries have played a part of it. Obviously, free agent defection has played a part of it. Trades have played a part of it. So that's kind of what you're looking at. But I think Otto Luskin, because of his age factor and his composure factor with the puck, has a chance, yes.
I'm leaving one guy for John in a second, but there's a guy who's been in the NHL for a while. He's still in camp, Madison Bowie. We haven't seen too much of him. This is the old Capitals dude?
It is. Madison's been around, and here's what you need to know about him. I'm not sure. He might be as nice a person as you'll meet in the NHL, Mitch. I'm telling you, he's a tremendously nice person. He's a world-class skater. He's got tremendous feet. He's a guy that can get up and down the ice, make things happen. I think he's played close to 180 games in the NHL. The problem is mistakes with the puck at the wrong time, and there's not a lot of pure offense there. And so I think he's like a tweener, if that makes sense, even though he's not a small player. He's actually got good size. But that's him. You know, he's played in Washington. He's played in Detroit. He's played in Chicago. He played in Vancouver last year. He's been around. And, you know, my first exposure to him was when he played for the Kelowna Rockets. So, I mean, that is a defense factory. They've done a ton of great defensemen have come out of there over time. But for whatever reason, he's moved around a lot. I think part of it is because of the amount of mistakes that he makes with the puck.
And Corey Schoeneman.
He had a tough night last night. I really respect players like that. Everything he's gotten, he's a kid from Michigan that went to Western Michigan, had to work his tail off to get to where he is. Never drafted, never really given, all the different platitudes that a lot of really top young players get coming out of the state of Michigan. I give the Canes credit for giving him a chance. He had a tough night. I think he's a depth player at the NHL level.
Pierre, you look at the Canadiens, and you just kind of alluded to a couple of minutes ago, we spent a lot of time talking about what happened to the Winnipeg Jets. Remember when there was like a mass exodus on their blue line? And when you think about where the Canadiens were not that long ago on the blue line and where they are now, it's kind of striking.
It is, and that's why I go back to it. It's easy to point fingers now, but if you go back to some of the deals that were made under previous management teams, you know what I thought, and I was not a fan of it. It's probably, outside of getting a really top-end number one center, which usually you have to draft because they just don't become available, it's really hard to find franchise-type defensemen. And when you do, you've got to keep them. You know, you really do. You've got to keep them. You know, Raymond Bourque wasn't traded till the end of his career. When the Canadiens were dominating, their defensemen are out. Now it's a different era, obviously, but their defensemen still stayed. They didn't disappear. They were there. They made a point of keeping them. You know, Mitch, for the younger people in the audience, we think about how spoiled we were with the big three, with Robinson and Savard and Lapointe. But we don't talk about, you know, players like Jacques Laperriere enough, even though we talked about him the other day. We don't talk about players like, Rick Natras. I can go down the line. All the guys that Canadians had, they had players coming through at that position that were amazing over time. And that's why they were able to maintain their depth. And it made a big difference. This is a defense that's being rebuilt right now. It is not ready for prime time. It's being rebuilt.
Boy, Brisebois, Odelin in the 90s, they played a long time in the NHL.
Yep, you're right on. You remember, I mean, I was coaching then. And
I knew I'd drag you into Sergachev somehow, some way. Just because you didn't mention his name doesn't mean nobody knew what you were talking about.
I was trying to be nice. Can I be nice a couple times a week? Yeah. I didn't like that deal. And I'll give you a quick one.
Yeah, we got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
After that deal went down, I can just tell you, I called a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning staff, and I said, usually when people do that on the street, they go to jail. It's called theft. That's what I said.
Yeah, Hedman Light. Thank you, Pierre.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Mitch. I'll talk to you Friday. I'll be in Hamilton, New York, getting ready to watch Northern Michigan at Colgate University. Tee it up.
All right. And we'll go through the forwards as the Canadiens get ready to open the season next week in Toronto. Thank you.
Bye-bye. 22-year-old. There must be someone.